Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back. It's hour number two of Betting Across America, and we are presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Pritchard, your host out here in Las Vegas. Your other host today is James Salinas, and he is out there in Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. James, just some news, breaking news a little bit here. Jalen Suggs from Gonzaga declares for the NBA draft. No surprises there, right? I mean, we kind of expected that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, he showed out. He showed out in the tournament, right? And especially in that Final Four game, the semifinal game against UCLA. I mean, your stock's not going to go up any higher than that. And they took their shot to win the championship. Obviously, fell short to Baylor, but that team's not going to be returning back to the finals, I don't believe. You're going to see some other folks that are leaving from that team. So, no surprise there. And your draft stock's as high as it's going to get. Go get that money now and move on to the NBA. Absolutely makes total sense.
Yeah, you know, James, I mentioned to the audience in hour number one that you were the 2015 Super Contest winner. And so the reason why I bring that up is because of the 17-game regular season schedule that we have in the National Football League coming up. And have you started to work on that or start to formulate thoughts on how you're going to approach something that's never been seen before?
Yeah, I think with the 17-game schedule, that, you know, scheduling is a big part of my handicap in the NFL. And so I thought about it. I was like, oh, great. There's another week of work that I'm going to have to put in because now the contest will be 18 weeks, mm-hmm. right, most likely. The contests haven't come out. I know they're obviously for whether it be the Super Contest at Westgate or for the Circa Millions that goes on there with the gentleman, they'll be putting out their third contest this year, you know, their third annual contest coming out. But I had to wait to see exactly were they going to make that shift and change, which the NFL did. But if it turns into an 18-week season, because there will be just one bye in addition to the 17 games, then now it just stretches out the homework that you have to do. But for somebody like me, giving it some more thought, I like it. I like it from the fact that that just gives me another week to really dig into teams' schedules, because part of it is, yeah, we know who teams are going to play next year, but we don't know when they're going to play them. And that's a big part of my handicap. Just knowing how schedules are played out, where is your bye at? How early? How late is it in the season? Do you have three consecutive road games? We saw some of those West Coast teams early in the season, multiple trips out to the East Coast and vice versa for that matter, right? So travel is impactful, and to me it's really important to know when teams are going to play as opposed to just knowing simply who they're going to play.
The reason why I asked too, not only for my own information but for the audience, because we have win totals released right now and we have some odds on these, and I would just wonder where the books are. Like, did the books this hasn't been seen before, right? We have 17 regular season games. Do the books, are they generous with some of these win totals? Maybe they haven't done all the work they need to do, so maybe we can take advantage of that. And that's why I was asking where you stood in terms of the amount of work that you put into the new expanded regular season, the 17 games. So the AFC East, for instance, the Buffalo Bills are 10.5 with 17 regular season games. The overs minus 115, the unders minus 105. The Patriots are 9.5. Dolphins, their win total 9, and the Jets' win total is 6 here for the AFC East.
Well, I think a couple things you have to consider. You talked about 17 games, right? So the old thinking of, all right, if you're looking, let's say you're looking at the Jets, right? Oh, mm-hmm. 6 wins. Are they going to go above? Can they go 6-10? That hits the number. Or can they go 7? You know, can they go 7-9 to get over that? Or is it 5-11? Now you're thinking, all right, well, it is 6 wins. Now that doesn't mean 5-11 anymore if they're going to go under that. Now it means 5-12. The other part that we got to start to change our thinking of, and I don't think you just have to be conscious of it. Think about it and start to unlearn what you've learned in the past when it comes to 16-game schedule, right, for the NFL. Also, who is going to get that extra home game? Because it is an odd number. So which teams are going to get the extra home game? This year, it will be all the AFC teams that will get that extra home game. So you might see these numbers. Maybe you might think they're a little inflated. You're going to see higher numbers for the AFC teams potentially versus the NFC teams. So I think that's also something that you have to factor into, is knowing that the AFC is going to get that one extra home game. That odd game will be played at the AFC site.
Yeah, and plus anticipating fans being back in the stands too. So for instance, the Jets, their win total at 6. Six wins or total, it's six, with a rookie quarterback. I mean, Zach Wilson, that's who we're thinking that they're going to draft, right? And so is that obtainable? Do you prefer the under here? I mean, they're minus 110 either way, so I guess the books are protecting themselves that way.
Well, and you think about the Jets. I mean, yeah, it's going to be a rookie quarterback going in, and this is not the favorable situation. Let's say it is a quarterback that goes to San Francisco. Well, very favorable situation for that young quarterback, whoever that might be, that gets to go to very well coached team, a franchise that is solid in its structure when it comes to the organizational structure. Right, coach knows their role, GM knows their role, ownership has their say. It's pieces, parts in place. Mm-hmm. Jets. Another franchise, completely the opposite. Right? It's been a complete mess from the ownership on down, right? Just dysfunction all over. Now you've got a new coach. All the pressure also of being in New York City and expectations, even though the expectations for the Jets there are always that they got to get better, got to get better. And a quarterback going in, a young quarterback going in, and if it is Zach Wilson, does he have the mental toughness to be able to handle that situation and deal with failure, because you're going to go there and you are going to fail. Just because you got a new quarterback there, does that mean that's an upgrade from what they had there with Sam Darnold and that those other things were masked? There's a lot of issues there. So just initially, I'm not going to play any of these, Pritch, until I know when the schedule comes out, when they're going to play these certain teams based on the schedule as opposed to just who they're going to play. But as far as the Jets are concerned, just getting that new quarterback in there and that's sitting at six, I can't make a case for the, because of all the holes.
Right.
And dysfunction that we've seen, and new coaching staff having to come in, take time to get to know their guys. Like, it's going to be a struggle for them. And within that division, the teams are getting better. Miami's getting better. The Patriots definitely got better on defense with all the moves that they're making, and the opt-outs that are opting back in. Big question mark with the Patriots at quarterback position with Cam Newton. What's he going to be able to do? But the team's getting better. The teams are getting better. The division's getting tougher. Are the Jets getting themselves any better? I don't think so.
Well, here's New England with the spending spree. And they're 9.5 right now with their win total. They just won 7 games last year. You had Miami, who won 10 games last year, James, and their win total goes 9 down to 9 with an extra game. And you would think that, okay, Miami's getting better. And, okay, New England with Cam Newton, okay, I get it. They went on a spending spree, but why 9.5 right there? Maybe all these players opting back in defensively will help. But that one right there kind of makes me scratch my head in terms of, okay, where are the books on these? Because you got Miami, again, a 10-win team last year. And with the extra game, their win total is only 9 right now.
Yeah, and maybe it's the speculation on what at the quarterback position. Is mm-hmm. Tua really the one? Because a lot of those games that were won, it wasn't with Tua at the quarterback position, right? It was Fitzpatrick back there, and he's no longer there. So do they see some regression? And it's a young quarterback that, you know, a lot of talk. Is he really the guy to lead that franchise forward? And obviously, they're going with him this coming season. That's why Fitzpatrick is gone. But maybe there's going to be some things that are dialed back. Yeah, lots of other areas where they're improved. And I think coach down there with Flores has done a really good job to change the culture and solidify himself as a leader for that franchise going forward. But yeah, I think the big question for me is, can he compete and be that playmaker for this team for the entirety of the season? Because we just didn't get to see enough of that last year. He was just, you know, being put in certain games and or only having a handful of starts, just not enough of a big picture play for me to really trust that, yeah, Tua is the guy. And we've seen enough out of him last year to say this is the guy that's going to lead the Dolphins to and exceed that season win total. Now, thinking about, let's stay within the division there, thinking about the AFC East and the Buffalo Bills. Sitting mm-hmm. there, it's right now that's sitting there at 10.5.
10.5,
right,
yeah.
Which means in this case here, yeah, 11 wins, so you're going to go 11-6 in the division. But let's look at their schedule. We don't know when they're going to play these certain teams, but we do know who they're going to play. Well, look at the road games that they're going to end up playing. They're a non-conference. Or non-division games. We know who they're going to play, and it's a home and away within the division. But road games here, they're going to be playing at New Orleans, at Super Bowl champion, they're playing the Bucks. They're going to play at Tennessee. They're going to play Jacksonville, so that's going to be helpful there. But then the last one is they're going to play Kansas City. So really tough road schedule, non-division road schedule for the Bills team. The home games non-division, they get Carolina, they get Atlanta, they get Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, and Houston. I'm sure they would love to have wished that some of those could have been switched around, and maybe instead of having Houston playing up there in Buffalo, they'd rather had New Orleans come up there in December, right? But right. That's not the way the schedule shakes out, right? Absolutely. You want to get the dome team, that a team like New Orleans, get them out of the Superdome where you are going to have fans. You know that's definitely a home field advantage for the Saints when they're playing at home in front of those raucous and rowdy fans down there. Well, that's going to be a road game for the Bills, and the fact that, you know, that they definitely exceeded expectations, and I don't think anybody expected Josh Allen to play nearly as well as they did, or really so many of the spread formations in the offense coming out of the Bills that we saw last year. I don't think that was really expected either. So can there be some regression there with the rest of that division coming back and getting better, and thinking about the tough road schedule to just scratch Jacksonville, but those other four tough non-division games on the road, New Orleans, Tampa, Tennessee, Kansas City, that's a tough schedule in my mind here. Yeah. I think we might see some Bills regression, because that's not a team. I don't like that offensive line. I don't like their linebackers. I think you can run the football at Buffalo. I love the secondary. A lot of playmakers and ball hawks back there, but I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that Buffalo is going to exceed here and go 11 wins. Just looking at those factors alone without knowing who they're going to play, I would say no. I think that goes under.
I think they need another running back, too, to help out with that schedule up there. We've always played Buffalo in December, James, at night. Jim Kelly, Bruce Smith, Thurman Thomas, all those guys. We never caught a break, and those games were tough right up there in December at night in Buffalo. How about the NFC East?
But Pritch, let me stick with that real quick. So think about that, though. Would you have rather played? All right, we know we play Buffalo, but you haven't seen the schedule yet.
Right.
If you know that, and historically you're playing out there, aren't you thinking, man, we sure hope we play them in September, October, because it's been brutal having to go out there in the mid-December having to play up in Buffalo. That's where I think the scheduling piece matters when you're playing your opponents, not only when you're playing them on the road, but also when you're hosting certain teams.
Right.
When are you hosting them? Because definitely teams like Buffalo take full advantage of that poor weather that we know historically comes in November and definitely in December.
Definitely December. And we were a dome team, too, out there in the Georgia Dome at the time, James. How about the NFC East? So the NFC East, the audacity of the National Football League to give them another game. Every team in that division had a losing record last year. The win totals, the Cowboys are 9. The over is minus 140. The under plus 115. Washington, 8, their win total. The over minus 130. The under plus 110. And then the Giants, their win total is 7. Where do you fall on the NFC East?
Yeah, let's start with the Washington football team, right? The team that won the division last year. This is a team, now that you have Fitzpatrick at quarterback, I think we're going to see, what are we going to see out of that offense going forward? I like the Washington football. It's a decent offensive line, right? They had a lot of injuries. The last couple of years have had a lot of injuries, but let's just start with the culture of that team first and foremost, and the quick shift in culture that we saw. Talk about a team we're talking about the Jets and a lot of dysfunction from the ownership down. I don't know if it gets any more dysfunctional than what we've seen out of the Washington football team, basically since ownership has been there for quite a while, and a lot of dysfunction has been following suit with him there as the owner of the football team. Really, with Rivera being able to get in there and change the culture there, it felt like you saw them perform and play that way more like a team. They did not look nearly as disconnected, and he had a lot of issues at the quarterback position, right? What were they going to do with Haskins? Were they going to giving him a start, didn't want to show up for practice, getting suspended, all the different things that had to go on, and then Alex Smith coming in, and we know Alex Smith is going to be the check down Charlie of Lee. He's always been that guy, right? And then for the injury that he suffered coming back, good for him to get back there. But you knew as a playmaker, it was going to be very conservative. Well, now you put Fitzpatrick in there. He's the complete opposite. Talk about a gunslinger and somebody who is not afraid to be aggressive. I'm interested to see how those pieces, parts, McLaurin, some of the other pieces that they got there, can explode on offense, especially knowing that their defense, that front seven, and in particular that defensive line, is spectacular. They're a terrific defense up front, that they're going to limit their opponents to play. So if you make a mistake on offense, the defense has got your back. back and they'll pick you up. And then just looking at Washington here, I mean, to me, that is clearly, they are clearly the team that I think is going to be the NFC right now. The looking at this and talking about this, that's the team that I like the best here. And it's that number sitting at 8.
It's at 8.
I've got to lean towards that. They're going to exceed that wins total. Will the Washington football team this season?
Yeah, it's juiced up a little bit. -130 for that over. The Cowboys, they're juiced up even more. -140 for their over of 9. The win total was sitting at 9 right now.
Just question marks about Prescott. Right. Question marks about the offensive line. A lot of injuries last year. Definitely question marks about the defense. You know, the linebackers have gotten banged up. The secondary, can they cover, especially on the back end at the safety position? And Prescott, how healthy? What is he going to look like coming back? Still got plenty of time to heal up, but so many question marks with Dallas. And then talk about starting at the top with some dysfunction. Who makes the calls there? Who's running the show? Who's running the ball club? That's Jerry Jones, owner, head coach, GM, all of it. He wears all the hats there. Yeah. I don't like Dallas going over that total. I would be looking at the under for sure.
Jerry wants to get back to a Super Bowl in the worst way. We continue with this discussion as well as return to Major League Baseball. How about that schedule over the weekend? Dodgers, Padres. We'll recap that coming up next. Life is a marathon, not a sprint, unless you're hiring. Fortunately, Indeed has great tools that help speed up the hiring process. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Welcome back to the show. It's Betting Across America, and we are presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Pritchard, your host out here in Las Vegas. Your other host is James Salinas out in Denver, Colorado, just wrapping up the NFC East, James. You got the Eagles and the Giants. Their win totals, the Giants goes down a little bit here, or I thought it could be higher, to be honest with you. They're at 7. And the Eagles 6.5, clearly in transition mode out there in Philly.
Yeah, definitely. If for Philly rebuilding themselves and want to see what they got at the quarterback position with Hurts, and you know, defensively, the secondary, the pass rush, they do still have a couple veterans left out there as far as the leadership is concerned. But offensively, what is that identity going to be for the Eagles? So, and then you know there was some power structure going on, some issues going on within the structure of the organization. Right. And mm-hmm. We saw that with play out with Peterson, and we saw that play out at the end of the season last year. Right. Interesting how some of that with the quarterback moves that were made in game. Right. And against the Giants in that late season game with the Eagles. So just really interesting to see these things play out. Right. And try to delve into get into that war room, per se, for each of these organizations. But thinking about. The Giants. I think the Giants are. I want to see what Joe Judge now. He had to go in there and change some culture issues with the Giants, right? And I was really intrigued with defense coordinator Patrick Graham. Now, didn't have a whole lot to work with last year, and obviously still you're not going to just flip the script and change the personnel overnight there for the Giants. But I'm interested to see how give those coaches another year now, because obviously last year a lot to have to work through. We talked about it in a preseason last year with Judge being very heavy-handed and basically giving a tongue lashing to his team, and see how they were going to respond from that, because they weren't performing up to expectations when it came to practice and their performance within the practice and the level of intensity that they were putting out there. So I really want to see how Judge and Graham, in particular with the defense, are now have a full offseason, how they're going to continue to work with a lot of talent. I think we saw some talent on the defensive line. It's just the secondary, I think, is the big issue for the Giants. And offensive line, too, tons of holes there for the Giants. But what are they going to do going forward offensively? Does Jason Garrett, as the offensive coordinator, excite you? Is that somebody that you feel like, all right, this, we got the right guy that's still stuck in the, you know, we're going to pound it on first down, pound it up the middle on second down. I know Saquon Barkley will be back and healthy, but I think that's the concern there with the Giants. Too many question marks for me. I really don't know where to go with this. Where does Giants team? You tell me, Pritch, what's your assessment of the New York Giants going into 2020?
Well, they added some weapons offensively at the wide receiver position along with Saquon Barkley. You're thinking, okay, the Giants with that type of coach, could exceed 7 wins. It is the NFC East. But if you go over, it's minus 110. You go under, it's minus 110. So really no bang for your buck right there. But I'm just intrigued by that win total at 7 with an extra game here for these teams in NFC East.
Yeah, and that's the extra game that is going to be on the road, right?
Yeah.
So you're playing 8 home games, right, and 9 mm-hmm. road games. So definitely have to factor that into as well. I think for me, I probably want to see. I know who they're playing, right? I look at their home games here and playing the Raiders in Denver, the Rams, Carolina, and Atlanta. So, you know, because they're not playing a first-place schedule. But the road games are a bit challenging here. Look at the road games, non-division for the Giants, playing at Kansas City. The Chargers, where I think are going to, at least offensively, they should be better with Herbert having another year. I think there's plenty of talent on that Chargers team. Here's a team we don't know what its new coach going in there. What is that going to look like for the Chargers? But then think of some of the other games. Miami could be a challenge going down there. When do they play Miami? When do the Giants play Miami? Do they play them early in the season? Right, we know if you go play in Miami early in the season, in particular in September, you're not conditioned to those conditions down there that the Dolphins always take advantage of as far as the heat and the humidity is concerned, right? So that's a piece. And then some of these other games, they got to go play down in Tampa and play the defending champions down there, as well as play at New Orleans. So really challenging road schedule, I think, for the Giants, especially with an offensive line that I think is still, you got some talent on the outside to throw the ball to, but who's going to block? Who's going to be able to keep Daniel Jones upright? And we've seen his decision-making. He's not only the most astute guy out there when he gets pressure coming after him. So I want to dig into the schedule some more once it's released. But yeah, Giants are just, it's an enigma for me. That's a challenge one right there. I would probably lean, if anything, more towards the under.
Okay, you know, for those two teams, the Giants and the Eagles, 7 for the Giants, 6.5 for the Eagles. I really think the draft choice or that selection could tip the scale either way. So I see, look, don't decide right now. We'll see what happens with these odds, certainly after the draft, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Looking at that. So the Eagles, the over minus 130, 6.5 to total, under plus 110, 6.5 to total. Coming up next, Ben Fox, our VP of digital content. He's coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Sports betting action this spring is just getting started, and our VSiN experts are covering early season baseball trends, NHL and NBA playoff races. Plus, we're looking at all the key picks and predictions for the NFL draft. We give you all the tools to make the most of every bet, including our 24/7 video coverage, complete odds and analysis of every game on VSiN.com, our daily members-only best bet emails, and in-depth coverage of every major sport event and point spread weekly. Now is the time to sign up for your VSiN 10-day free trial at vsin.com/subscribe. Welcome back to the program. It's Betting Across America, and we are presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas, your host today. Happy to have in studio our VP of digital content, Ben Fox. Ben, how are you?
Doing well, and we should add, we also just launched a new daily MLB piece as well. So JBT has his daily NBA piece. We now have a daily MLB piece with some betting nuggets and other things from Derek Carty. So
that's awesome.
Plenty of digital coverage.
Yeah, looking forward to that for sure. I want to start off because James and I, we've been talking in depth today about the NFL draft, and I've never bet the draft before. I'll be the first to admit that because I'm highly intrigued this year. We were talking about bets, you know, in general, like there's no sure things, but I mean, Trevor Lawrence going number one overall, I mean, that's pretty much a sure thing, right?
Yeah. So, you know, you talk to bookmakers, get updates from a bunch of different books. And this was just one today that kind of stood out to me. Again, right? The draft, there are, like we said, there are no sure things. You're betting on a giant favorite. They sometimes could lose. The draft is a little different in that there's some years, right, where we kind of know who's going number one.
Right.
Some years, maybe it's Andrew Luck, RG3. Some years, you're not really sure. But it seems like Trevor Lawrence is probably going number one. You know, he's donating to Jacksonville charities. Like, he's interacting with a community. And at DraftKings, only 45% of the handle, 18%, of the bets is on Trevor Lawrence. Now, again, he's minus 10,000, right? So I think that's you bet $100, you win a dollar. Now, again, given my Robinhood account the last couple of days, 1% return looks pretty good. But Devontae Smith, I mean, he's 200 to 1, for example, 7% of the bets, 11% of the handle. There's no way Devonta Smith is going to be the number one pick. He probably won't even be the number one wide receiver off the board with Ja'Marr Chase. So, again, just interesting, something at VSiN, right? We're trying to make smarter bettors here. Not exactly sure why 55% of the handle is not on Trevor Lawrence to go number one overall.
Well, Ben, I think it's really just the odds, right? Taking long shot here. You could look at Najee Harris, right? He's getting 1% of the handle, but it's 100,000. What is it? Is that 100,000? I can't even see. That's too many zeros. Is it a million? So I think it's right. So many zeros on there. I think it's just a little pizza money out there just for something to see it and maybe on the crazy long shot there. But I think ultimately outside of that, yeah, it's going to be such a small fraction of dollars, actual money that's being put on to anybody else outside of Trevor Lawrence. And to Pritch's point too, I haven't bet the draft either. It's really intriguing to talk about, but a lot more work to go before we get to next Thursday. So we've still got a full week and a half to try to dig into beyond Trevor Lawrence. But in this case here, I can't see anybody else but Trevor Lawrence going to Jacksonville.
Yeah, and look, there's always surprises, right? I think I remember covering it for ESPN, I believe it was 2014.
Okay.
Nobody had Blake Bortles going number three.
Mm-hmm.
Just Jacksonville had kept quiet. Nobody saw that coming.
Right.
Again, maybe for good reason. It wasn't exactly the best pick, but this is number one, right? So I think we kind of know what's happening. Again, just something that stood out to me.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Daniel Jones getting drafted as high as he did.
You know, Todd McShay almost fell off the balcony.
Exactly. So I put it this way. If Urban Meyer does not select Trevor Lawrence number one, he should probably get fired on the spot, right?
Yeah, I don't think he'll be coaching too many games. I mean, right, this is why he came back.
Yeah.
So just, again, fascinating from a betting perspective. There's always a market to analyze. But just a little surprised, the number one market, there wasn't a higher handle on Trevor Lawrence.
Okay, the time of the calendar, too. I mean, NBA, NHL, certainly Major League Baseball. What about some fun bets that's out there? You know, we had this fight that it had garnered a lot of interest as well.
Yeah, so an interesting time of the year, right? You got NFL draft coming up, NBA playoffs about a month away, NHL, baseball. And definitely what had the most social media buzz as well was the Ben Askren-Jake Paul fight. Mm-hmm. And again, not just social media buzz, but betting handle as well. This was, again, DraftKings said their biggest bet for, biggest handle for a boxing fight of the year, 2021, which I think speaks both to, A, there haven't been that many great boxing fights so far, but also just while it may be a sideshow a bit, there's a lot of betting interest in this. William Hill took a $160,000 bet on Jake Paul at minus 160. Again, depending on the sports book, it was a slight win, a slight loss. Points bet had a significant loss as well, with Jake Paul winning in the first round and winning by knockout, which I think was around 7-1, 8-1. He was about a minus 150 favorite. This was one where I think BetMGM had about 29% of the bets, but 47% of the money on him. It was around 50-50 at several books. It kind of depended on who you were talking to. It was a good result for stations, not so good result for some other books, but really just surprised at the overall handle. And that was the one thing, talking to bookmakers was just to a T, how much handle there was over the weekend and how much interest there was in this fight.
Well, and do you think they're surprised, obviously, because we haven't been. I know for me, I don't know, but I'd like to get your guys' opinion here, too. But for me, I've been skeptical of the fight game for quite a long time. And until I think I feel like we can get some transparency with these judges, because I think that's what we talk about, right, when we're talking about is the fix-in, is what's going on with this fight based on judges. Till we start getting some posting up judges' score. We do it in every other sport. We see it everywhere else. We know what the score, whether it's the game or any of these other, even figure skating, they post scores, and so you know where you stand and what you need to go into. Until they start posting these judges' scores in-game, right, I don't know why they can't. I think they could, but I'm always going to be one now that's very skeptical of the fight game. How much attention, how much do you guys even play anything? Do you bet any of these fights even over the last couple of years?
So, I mean, for me, I like to follow, especially MMA and kind of the rise of in-game. Mm-hmm. I like to follow just because it goes so fast, right? And the odds change so quickly with that. I think with fights like this, it's certainly tough, especially when Ben Askren, I think, gets paid $500,000, gets one punch, all of a sudden he's down. I think in the MMA, in UFC, he actually got knocked out by a flying kick in about 5 seconds as well. That one, I believe, that one was rough.
Okay.
But it's tough. It was, I think, more a spectacle than an event, but really was surprised at the overall betting handle that was there.
Well, it was a spectacle, and that's probably why you see the handle where it was. Yeah. Thanks again for your time, Ben. Would you bet, by the way, before we close out this segment, would you bet figure skating, by the way? James brought it up.
Sure. If James is telling me who to bet, no problem.
Triple axel. Let's get some action on that.
Yeah.
Thanks again for Ben Fox's appearance right here on the program. Leans and Picks is coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. BetMGM welcomes you to Showtime with a chance to win $100 for a $1 Moneyline wager on tonight's Bucks versus Suns game. Just use bonus code VSIN100 and you're on your way to betting with the king of sportsbooks. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com for more details and use promo code VSIN100 to win $100 if either team hits a three. It's a new customer offer and paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old, located in Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Excludes Michigan dissociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. If you feel you have a problem, it's 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa and Tennessee. Call or text the red line 800-889-9789 in Indiana. Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the show. It's Betting Across America, and we are presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas, your host today. James, you know, some of these plays that we can do in leans and picks, I love this. Stephanie gave us some homework, and I love this too because it challenges me, I think, in terms of trying to assert myself as a bettor, right? And so I look through the schedule, baseball, NBA, trying to come up with some plays and plays that I was comfortable with in terms of an over. So I selected the Suns and the Bucks as my over, 234. The Suns coming off a horrible performance, if you ask me. And then the Bucks challenged defensively at times, too. So I'm looking for this game to go over 234.
Well, and think about if you think about the Suns, we were talking about this the other day. They were hosting a back-to-back situation for the Spurs, and the Spurs had rested a number of players going in that back-to-back situation. They just lost to Portland. They're coming into Phoenix. But Phoenix clearly had their bags packed because they start this trip here. This is really going to be, it's going to be a really interesting schedule for Phoenix going forward. They have a 5-game road trip going out east, really challenging all the contenders. They're playing all the contenders out in the east. Philadelphia, the Nets start with the Bucks tonight. The Knicks have been playing really well recently. And then they're going to come back home after those 5 games in 8 days on the road. And they're going to end up playing, I think they play the Clippers and the Jazz. So we're going to find out a lot about where the Suns stand. I do have a play on this game too. I'm right there with you, Pritch, as far as what I think. Obviously, with the total, we had JVT talking about this too. He was leaning towards the Bucks, and I kind of do as well. The one thing that's been interesting about Coach Monty Williams with Phoenix is he's been going 10 deep. He's been playing 5 guys off the bench consistently, night in and night out, some pretty significant minutes, not only to build some depth on the team, but I think also to do some load management for his starters, in particular for both Chris Paul and Devin Booker. Paul barely gets over 30 minutes a game, but I do like this prop for Chris Paul tonight. It's over 8.5 assists. It's getting juice. It was $1.10. Now it's up to $1.15. I still lay the juice there with 15 cents on Chris Paul. Over 8.5 assists. He is going to be, he's not looking to score. He's been out there to facilitate. I think this is a game where Phoenix getting back on the track. They know they've got a really challenging schedule over this next week and a half. I think they want to get off on the right foot here, and Paul will be the catalyst for that to facilitate the offense going forward. So I'm there with you on the over, but I definitely like Chris Paul to hit his assist mark over 8.5 because he is not looking to score. He'll be running the show tonight for the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, I like that angle too, James. I mean, the Suns, they got to get their mind right, especially if they're going to be on a road like that. And then you're talking about in that conference, you have the big bad Lakers. They're getting healthy and they're confident out there too. So I think a chance for the Suns to kind of assert themselves on this road trip.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough challenge. I don't think they're going to be able to, you know, they're a game and a half back of the number one seed behind the Jazz. Mm-hmm. But right now, the Jazz have a very soft schedule. You look right at their schedule coming up the next week and a half, very soft schedule. I think they're going to be too tough to catch, even though we know Spider Mitchell went down with the ankle injury for a while. Very deep team there as well. I really just want to see where the Suns going to end up. Let's check back with them in a week and a half, see where they're at in the standings, because I think this is going to be a very challenging schedule going forward for them these next seven games, and definitely these next five games on the road in the East, five games in 8 days. But I think they want to get out there, and they'll bring the effort and the energy tonight against the Bucks. Going to be a great matchup, fun game to watch.
Yeah, and my under of the day is the Grizzlies and the Nuggets out your way, because the Grizzlies, they were insane when they beat the Bucks, shooting well over 50% in that one. Really, from a defensive standpoint, from the Bucks, poor effort. The Nuggets, you know, defensively, they step up at times, I think, James, but Jokic, he's going to be that MVP guy. Certainly Michael Porter Jr. stepping up. I think he's been averaging a double-double lately. He has been stepping up, not to the level of Jamal Murray, certainly, but 226 is this pregame total here in this game.
Yeah, I'm looking at that here now. Yep, sitting at the same number, and it's Nuggets by 7.5 are the favorites. And I wanted to play Memphis in this spot, and then here we go. We look at the injury report. Big injury there. Number one in the middle. So I'm gonna have to. Who's gonna guard Jokic tonight? Well, it's not gonna be Valanciunas. He's not in. He's got a concussion. He is out for Memphis, right?
And I'm rethinking that.
Memphis
now.
Very guard oriented. but I think here, but you're also not gonna get any post play right out of Memphis. A very guard-oriented team anyway, but at least with Valanciunas, you can play through the post at times and put some pressure on Denver on that interior to have to defend. But now with him out, how does that change the matchup? The other piece here, too, looking at game-time decisions, in particular, it's Dylan Brooks. I think that's the one that's most concerning, Dylan Brooks out. Very aggressive player to the basket, as is Ja Morant. Grayson Allen been shooting the ball very well, but what does that do to their offense? What does that do to the offense for Memphis if Brooks does not go? And we know the other starter at the five position with Valanciunas is not going to be in there. How does that translate to the floor offensively? Anytime you're missing a couple starters, you're going to have to throw some other people in, and you're going to have different sets and not be able to play through the post. So I could see where I could lean towards the under here as well, just based on the fact that there are some pretty significant injuries going into this game for Memphis.
Okay, and here's my dog of the day, and here's the reason. So it's the Pacers. I believe they're plus 1.5 now, maybe plus 1, depending on where you shop, certainly. At home now, the Pacers haven't been playing great basketball. I get it. But the Spurs, you know, maybe they have. Maybe people are buying into some of their games as of late. But I'm thinking if the Pacers are lowly right now, why are they only catching 1.5 at home? So a chance for this dog in this one, James.
Yeah, it's right now the Pacers, there's some talent on that team. There's this feeling like they're, and I know they definitely had some injuries early on and some COVID issues too, but you know, defensively, I think that's where the challenge has been for the Pacers. And you know, the rim protection has been a concern, and I know they've had some injuries. Looking right now, Sabonis is a game time decision with the back tonight. Miles Turner has been kind of in and out of the lineup. Really, that's your rim protector there, right? With Miles Turner, what is his status tonight? I think McDermott is on a game time decision too. So big question marks for me with Indy. So I think as far as a dog concerned, yeah, get back home. And where are the Spurs at to be laying points on the road here, even though it's very short number as far as laying a 1.5. I did see a 2 and a 2.5 actually earlier today in favor of the Spurs. But I think really it's all correlated to those injury, or it's obviously all game time decisions. So I think that's where you gotta, if you're wanting to bet that one, if I'm gonna play that one, I gotta look at let's get into the warm-ups. Who's actually on the floor warming up and in that layup line that might be available, because that's gonna be a concern. So maybe more so of an in-game play for me, just based on the fact that there are some significant players there with big question marks as far as their availability to go for the Pacers.
Yeah, Miles Turner had 11 rebounds in his return after missing 6 games. So maybe he has his legs up under him a little bit here in this matchup. But I do like that dog situation. But I'm going to keep an eye on the news reports and see who's playing, who's not playing.
Yeah. Yeah, especially if you're talking about Miles Turner, mm-hmm. did play yesterday. So, yeah, he's back. But now, you know, he had an ankle injury. Does that swell up? Are there any kind of things going forward? He had a toe injury, a foot injury. Like, you don't, especially when you have to travel and you get thrown up 35,000 feet into that tube, your body can swell up on that, on those things too, right? If you have those kind of injuries, it does happen if you're having to travel. So definitely something to look at and watch with the back-to-back situation. Always a concern, especially as we're almost grinding down to the tail end of the NBA season.
Okay, in this game too, Chicago, Boston, I asked you last week about whether Boston, you know, are they kind of presenting the opportunity to make a run here or not? I'm not sure, but they got an interesting game against the Bulls. Right now, Boston -6.5 at home. That total 215.5 as well.
Yeah, and I was looking to make one play here. It's a player prop. I was looking at Vucevic inside, Nikola Vucevic, part of the trade from Orlando a few weeks back. Now we know that Zach LaVine is out for a while due to COVID situation, but Vucevic is one of the few players along with LaVine that were actually getting any kind of steady minutes. He was getting 30 plus minutes a game playing at the center position and really playing a lot through the post. And he has the ability to step out and shoot the basketball from the perimeter as well. But for the Bulls, I think Donovan's been going very deep into his bench. I think just trying to assess what are our best rotations we're looking for, not only for this year and maybe on the outside looking in to get to the playoffs, but more so next year, roster spots, minute-wise, they're treating these games as opportunities to start to develop some chemistry. But looking at the Celtics here, some injuries, not knowing the illness going for Marcus Smart and Kemba Walker. Obviously, they're in the backcourt, but the Celtics are really thin at the five position. Williams is going to be out again. He's been out for the last couple games. That's thrust Tristan Thompson into the starting lineup to get significant minutes. I don't like that matchup for Thompson having to go against a very skilled player and strong player in Nikola Vucevic. I think here 33.5 points total, rebounds and assists. I think he'll get significant minutes for the Bulls tonight, and with not a lot of resistance at the five position in the paint in the interior for the Celtics, I think he should be able to handle his way and have plenty of opportunities not only to score but grab the boards as well. So 33.5 points, rebounds combined, it's actually sitting at $1.05 right now. So little juice in your favor here if you like that. I like the play. I'm going to make that bet on Vucevic over the top.
All right, I like the player props right there. James Lean is absolutely outstanding right there when it comes to the NBA. Great job so far this week. It's Monday. Happy Monday to you. We'll see you back on the program later on this week. Enjoy the games tonight on schedule.
You too. Good luck to you this week. I'll see you on Thursday, Pana.
Absolutely. That'll do it for us today. Josh Applebaum will be on the program tomorrow. My guys in the desert, come up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.